Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility, where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up, because we're going live, on the Fight Mixer Show.
Perfect.
Good evening, morning, Johnny over here. We have Johnny Hollywood Case. He's coming from us. What is it, 9 a.m., 10 a.m. over in Seoul, Korea?
Yep, it's like 9:30 a.m. and Thursday morning.
Ooh, welcome, good morning over there. Good evening over here. I got Matt, me, and Johnny. Gonna have a good little talk for about 30 minutes. Keep them as long as you can. You gotta go back to training, so we're gonna pick your brain for a little bit. So, how you feeling?
I feel great. Yeah, I feel great. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you guys this morning. I really appreciate it. But yeah, just loving life right now and enjoying it.
I was speaking with you a little bit earlier before the show, but how's transitioning coming from over here from the States over to South Korea? Is that messing with your training at all, or was it a smooth transition?
No, I kind of went through some shit, and I didn't really know, so it kind of made it worse. So over here, the COVID standard shit is way more intense than over in the States. So when I came here, I had to quarantine for 2 weeks. And at first they told us like we would be able to like quarantine together. Like we'd go to the Airbnb and like we'd have all three of us. Like, no, wasn't the case at all. Like we got off the plane and they treated us like we had Ebola. Like they fucking escorted us down this hallway. Everybody had these hazmat suits on. They like load us up on these buses and take us to these fucking like these government hotels that are like guarded by the military. And then they split us up. Yeah, it was crazy. And we go, and then they put us in these rooms alone. We have basically just like a fucking, you know, tiny ass little hotel room, and we're alone. And they're like, stay in here for 2 weeks. Don't come out of this room or we'll arrest you and take you to jail. And then you'll do 2 weeks quarantine there. And then we'll fly back to the States. So
Well, that's a good way to control.
Yeah, man. And so like, the second day I was there, I had like a fucking freak out. I was like, dude, I'm locked up. Like I didn't do anything wrong. Like I'm in solitary confinement. And like, I was just being a bitch about it. But then finally, I kind of switched my perspective and I'm like, dude, this is such a great opportunity for me to just work on my shit, you know, and like have no distractions. So it was a blessing in disguise.
How were you able to train, keep together in the, you couldn't leave to exercise, or how are you?
No,
not?
Couldn't leave, period. They like brought all of our meals to our door and stuff. And like, they came over the intercom, like when we could open our door, like, and grab our food. Like it was fucking strict to the T. It was like solitary confinement. So for like workouts, like, yeah, it was intense. It was like, it was literally like jail. Well, except for I had my cell phone, you know? But what's that?
How did you feel coming out of it when you're actually able to start moving out?
Clear, really, yeah. Clear and really like, so I've always been kind of a guy, like, especially over the last like 4 or 5 years, like my thoughts are always like planning ahead and always thinking of the future. Like very rarely was I able to like really enjoy the moment, the present moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like my mind was just going a mile a minute all the time. And it wasn't like forcing myself to like sit there and deal with my shit, like really fucking kind of calm my mind and calmed, you know what I mean, made me kind of feel a little more at peace, a little more at ease. So that was nice. And then we finally got a spar yesterday. It was our first sparring day with Zombie, and I was so tired. Like I got so gassed, but at the same time I was like, yes, just being able to fucking punch people and move around, and like it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, so, I'm not there obviously, but just the thought of you sparring with Zombie, that's cool. That's exciting. That just gets me all like, I feel like, oh, that's a, I would fangirl hell hard. Oh my god, so how was it? Yeah. Did you fangirl?
I actually knew Zombie. He did two camps at the MMA lab where I used to train, back in the day. So I knew Zombie from there, but yeah, totally. I'm always a fan of, I'm definitely a fan of him. I mean, we were actually just talking about that yesterday, me and my coach. Like, it's like when you're training with guys like that, like you kind of forget like how fucking badass they are and like how much of a rock star they are. You know what I mean? And then like you see how other.
Oh, I think we lost your, I think we lost his sound.
Yep.
You there?
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically like, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, you know what I mean? You forget just how cool they are when you, you know what I mean? How badass they are, how popular they are when you're training with them every day, you know? But then you go out and you see like how people interact with them and you're like, oh yeah, like you are a fucking rock star, aren't you? So that's pretty cool.
How you feel otherwise going into this camp?
I feel good. I feel really good. I was supposed to line up a fight with Ryzen back in Japan because I'm already here in Asia. And I was thinking like I'd forego the quarantine, but looks like that's not going to happen. So, yeah, so unfortunately I'm still waiting, but I'm super pumped to be here training and helping Zombie get ready to kick some ass. And, you know, obviously I'm getting paid to do this. So that's making money I wouldn't otherwise have the chance to make. So it's good, man. I feel good.
Yeah, you feel like you're learning something out there, even though being in a totally different territory. Is there anything that you're really pulling away from just traveling across seas versus something that you can't really pull away from here? Like, is there any difference in training that you just can't get in the States?
It's all the same. You know what I mean? Luckily, like his striking coach was my old striking coach at the lab. So it's like all the same series and shit we run on pads, like even when we spar and stuff like that. But I mean, I think the best thing that like anybody can take away from going abroad is like traveling and being the minority in other countries is so fucking good for like understanding like how you treat people. Like, you know what I mean? Like love, how you fucking love other people. Like, you know, when you're just around a bunch of shitty ass fucking Americans, they're all the same as you, you know?
Right now.
It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, you see the shit that's going on in the States right now. I'm like, God damn it. I wish these guys would just, you know, go be the minority somewhere. Go see another country. Go see how, like, you know, how the world really is.
So you talk about how they introduced you, not introduced you over there, but how they treated you, you know, like celebrity. How you liking that?
It's pretty awesome. I'm gonna be honest. It's gonna be hard to go back to my normal lifestyle. You know, like as soon as they picked us up out of quarantine, and Zombie took us out to he rented out this badass like fucking studio loft apartment, ordered so much food and just like made us fucking get wasted. He's like, nope, have fun, celebrate. Like, yeah, he's like, you guys are getting drunk, and then like every single meal we get picked up and chauffeured to like the best restaurants, and it's like breakfast, lunch, dinner, and like we stay there and eat for, you know, hour 2 hours. You know, we hung out with models and movie stars and rappers. It's just, it's fucking crazy. That's crazy.
Most famous person you've seen out there aside from Zombie?
Jay Park. I think we had dinner with him a couple times now, and he's pretty big deal, especially over here.
Yeah, they got a good pop culture out there. I could definitely see them latching on to you and want to take pictures, and they get you on the social. Anyone that eats Korean barbecue or knows anything about Korean barbecue, I have a lot of Korean friends out here, and I used to manage actually Korean restaurants. And the biggest thing, they know how to drink. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh my gosh! Like,
that's soju and some beers.
It's like water. Please don't get caught up. Have an experience, because I don't know how. I can't drink when I'm training. Do you actually, is it like now, like you're having fun, or is this something like you're actually really dry while you're training?
No, I'm having fun. Like, and I normally don't drink very much either, but I fucking drank like Saturday night, Sunday night, right out of quarantine. I got fucking hammered drunk. They're like, no, you need to drink. They're like, this is like, yeah, they respect you. Like the more you can, you know, the better you can hold your fucking liquor. And then I was like, God, I can't do this all the time. And then like every night we've been fucking just getting beers. And I'm just like, oh, I can't be a pussy. Right. So, but yeah, I mean, I still train hard though. You know, I get up, I work hard. So it hasn't really been affecting my performance. Obviously if I was fighting, I wouldn't be doing that shit, but
yeah,
I can still drink and have fun and then give Zombie the work he needs. So luckily I have another teammate here too, that we kind of switch off on him. So,
yeah. So what are some things that you're actually, I mean, you're pretty advanced, you're doing a great job. What are some things that you're actually really trying to pull out of yourself, like the further you go in your career? Is there things that you actually really zone in on? Or are you feeling like you want to be well-rounded? Is there something that you just, it's like that one goal that, you know, you want feel like that would be the key to being a better fighter? Like, what do you want to work on?
As far as like working on, like I'm always, you know, like the biggest gains that I've made the last year have been my strength and conditioning and my diet, really. I mean, like my athleticism is what I've improved over the past year. And, you know, but as far as like goals and improving, like I'm always trying to better myself, but the one goal that I have in mind is being a world champion. You know what I mean? I was so close with Ryzen. Like I fought in that Grand Prix and ended up losing to the now champion, but I was so close and I was so sure that I had done everything to win that title and just came up short. And, you know, now I have another opportunity with the PFL. I had a draw with the back-to-back winner, Nathan Schult.
Yeah.
And I'm gunning for that title. You know, I'm not going to stop until I'm a world champ.
Yeah. I think people always need to hold on the hunger. That's one thing. I think, I don't know if some people get comfortable because they know they advance, they know they're good. They don't really keep seeking to push further. You don't know what the other person in their camp or where they're coming from, what is in their mindset. And I think it's so important, just the perspective you have on going into a fight, going to camp, just where you want to be. You can't just, I'm good. I got this. I got that title. You know, you only advance, I think, when you advance your mindset as far as like, that's what I want to go for. So
totally. That's it. You got to set goals. You got to set goals and goals that are like, not like super easily obtainable goals, like goals that are like, fucking, you got to strive for it. You know what I mean? Like that's the only real way to get any distance. You know what I mean? If your eyes are focused on like the, you know, two steps in front of you, you're not fucking thinking very far ahead. You know, you gotta be thinking miles down the road. So that's the way to do it. That's the mindset that I found the most success with. And that's kind of what I've been doing.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, they just get settled and they stick in somewhere it's comfortable. And I mean, even when I'm training someone just in, you know, it's their first day of cardio, like you're never going to get anywhere unless you get out that comfort zone. And that's the biggest jump, I think, for anyone in any situation. I even love people pushing people like, you know, just take a fight. Just if it ain't comfortable, that's good, but you're going to grow from it. There's nothing you're going to achieve if you're just like, I'm hunky dory right where I am. No.
Yeah. Like, I'm good. I don't need to get any better. Like, I see that shit all the time. And I see, and like, to their credit, like they are great fighters. I mean, there's some great fighters, but if you have an attitude like that, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you're fucking decaying. You know what I mean? That's how life works. So
even if they're not going anywhere, that's fine. But if you plan on going somewhere, you gotta get out there. So is there anything that actually pushes you into your uncomfort zone? Like just training wise, not, you know, we're talking like, even if it's sparring, is it someone, certain person that could get you in your comfort zone? What really puts you in that moment where you're like, oh, like I gotta really push through this thing?
I just know that's what it takes. Like and you know, time and place too. Not every workout is like that. Not every workout for me is like, oh, I gotta fucking push my limits. You know what I mean? It's like three times a week, I would say, like three training sessions a week where you know you gotta push the limits. And what really, it's easy for me, you know, because I love this shit. You know what I mean? And then I also have, you know, really good training partners who also love this shit. And we're also like trying to win, you know what I mean, the practice round. So it's like you either fucking rise to the occasion or you get mowed the fuck over. So for me, it's really easy to push myself out of those comfort zones. You know what I mean? You know, of course, everybody has those days where you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. I want to grind. But then you get in there and you're fucking doing it anyway. You know what I mean? And sometimes those are your best practices. So I've been pretty fortunate, just the fact that, you know, I love what I get to do, what I love every day. And that makes me happy.
I think we all envy that too, or admire that, just seeing people like, even if I can't push myself on harder days, like looking at people like that can, or maybe if I'm not shooting to be that champion, I admire the people that have that kind of a drive. So regardless, if you're a role model to someone or you're inspiring someone just with those kinds of drives, I think it's fascinating what really pushes people. Everyone comes from different, you know, walks of life, and it's just like all these people come together and they all have this insane drive. And I wish I could tack into that. I mean, I know a lot of people that just keep pushing.
You can.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm not trying to champ. There's a lot of good people out there. I'm happy where I am. I do admire it. I admire people like you, all fighters, anyone that's even just stepping in the ring for the first time and that's all they want, I love it. Because there's something that's in there and driving them. And it's fascinating and exciting to see someone that has passion for shit. So
thank you. That's good.
So yeah, what are you excited about? What tell us some things you got going on that you want to get out there and
I'm just fucking excited to be here. I'm excited to be living, you know what I mean? I'm actually just getting out of a relationship, so I'm newly single and like looking to what's that?
This is therapy for you.
Exactly. It's like a nice little detox. Just get the fuck away, you know, and just have this moment and these memories right here. And then, you know, I'm excited to get back to the States and, you know, kind of start my own new chapter, so to say. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, I wish I had a fucking fight coming up. That would really help. That would, you know, that'd be nice. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen until next May. So just got to keep training and keep finding the silver lining and things, and you know, everything will work out.
So are you walking around higher than you normally would then because you don't have anything coming up, or are you still trying to be ready for an on-call?
So no, I'm pretty heavy right now. So that was the original goal, is like, because the UFC is like hiring all these people, like, or like signing all these fucking people real short notice. And I'm like, yo, like, I see some of these guys getting signed. I'm like, what the fuck? I talked to my manager. I'm like, how the fuck are these guys getting signed? Like, these guys suck. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. But unfortunately, I'm coming off of a loss, you know, regardless if it was for a world title or not. Like, I'm coming off a loss, and you don't get signed to the UFC if you're coming off a loss. So I'm kind of in a rock and a hard place. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't really want to take a step backwards when it comes to my pay. You know what I mean? So it's like, I could take like a, you know, a lower, like an LFA fight or something like that, but that's just so not worth it. That's almost an insult, you know, for the financial standpoint. So yeah, I mean, I guess I'm kind of just stuck fucking waiting for something to come up.
I will say there was a guy, I don't know if you watched, it was a couple of weeks ago. There's a guy, I'm in St. Louis, and he went to LFA. I don't know if he was at any other promotion before that, or his Bellator. He went to LFA. His name is Joaquin Buckley. I don't know if you saw. He got a call right after that. He just killed the dude in one round, first round finish. UFC did call him on that one. He ended up losing that UFC. I mean, he took it as a last minute shot. So it was that, I think 5 days later, he had his UFC fight. And he lost it to a TKO. But I think he ended up getting that contract with him, so I've heard. He's really popular around here, but he didn't have a lot of promotions, and he just showed up to LFA and just knocked the dude out. So
dope. Yeah,
showed up. I don't know. I mean, if you would stand out hell a lot more though on LFA, that I don't know if that would where that would be for you, if that would really hurt you on the pay, or if it's worth it in the give and take
rate. With me, it wouldn't be worth it. No, it wouldn't be worth it at all. It wouldn't be worth it at all. Like, no, it wouldn't be worth it for pay or for anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even getting back with, you know, if I was going to get a quick win and get back with the UFC, it's like even the UFC would be a step backwards as far as pay. Most likely, because I'm getting with the PFL, I'm getting paid quite a bit more than I was with my last contract with the UFC. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was on my second contract with the UFC, so they're going to have to really, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's too many variables at play for it to really make sense for me to want to go back to LFA, try to win a fight in hopes of getting signed to the UFC. Cause even then, if I do get you signed to the UFC, chances are they're probably not going to be paying me as well as the PFL is. So.
Yeah. I don't think people think about that. That's really interesting to think. Cause you would think like, oh, UFC is the top where you want to go, and that's where you're going to make all your money, and you're just going to sit there. Mm, and
so not the case financially speaking.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So, yeah, that's kind of like the perception that most, like, you know, fans have, is like, oh, the UFC or nothing, right? But it's really not the case. You know what I mean? Like, the UFC is so good because they have the most of the best fighters in the world per weight class. So winning the UFC title is without a doubt the most prestigious, because chances are you have had to take out, you know, 10 world champion level fighters just to get to that title, you know what I mean, and win that title. So that's what makes the UFC so prestigious, you know what I mean? As far as, and also the UFC does bonuses, where it's like, you know, you go out there and you get a performance of the night or a fight of the night, and there's an extra 50K. You know what I mean? And that's a pretty good chunk of money that'll help you out in the long run too. So there's perks for fighting with the UFC. But also, you know what I mean? Like, the UFC doesn't keep you very active. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you're lucky if you get three fights in a year. You know, I think I only had most of the time, my average, like, two fights a year. And, you know, one year I had three fights, but I also won a performance of the night and a fight of the night. And that one year I got three fights. So that was kind of nice there. But, you know, another negative thing with the UFC is, like, you only get half of your money to show up, and then you get the other half if you win. And if you lose, you only get half your money. So, you know, it kind of puts the pressure on there to go out and perform. Whereas in Japan, they pay you all your money up front. Win, they pay it. Boom, just go fight. That's all they care about. They don't care about winning or losing. They just, boom, pay you all right away. They weren't as good pay as the UFC, obviously, but just for that reason alone, it was beneficial. The PFL is the same pay as UFC, the pay scale, as far as, like, you get your show money, you get your win money, but they also have that $1 million tournament. You know what I mean? So not only am I getting paid for every single fight that I have, but the chance to win $1 million, you know what I mean? And I think it goes like $1 million, $500,000, 250K, and then the finalists are like 50K or whatever like that. So the incentive and the purse, and you're getting, you know, five fights in a year with the PFL, whereas, you know, UFC is only two fights. I was lucky with Ryzen. I think I had five fights with Ryzen. So they kept me pretty busy. So I was pretty fortunate for that.
Yeah, I don't think people think about that. And especially with everyone coming up too, I feel like the UFC, I'm just like, every 2 seconds I see brand new person. So to find you any room in there, unless you really have to fight just to get any kind of spot on the UFC, I feel like, I don't know if it's more stressful or just to, like, chill out where you are with the PFL, like, right now, like, if that's more beneficial to you. I don't think people think about that. It's interesting.
There's a lot of factors that go into it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not so easy as, like, oh, like, this is the best. This is what I can get a fight. Like, you know, you really got to think, you know, and you can't burn bridges either. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just be like, wow, well, you're not giving me a fight, so I'm just going to come over here. And it's like, no, because that's really fucking up a good thing I'd have with the PFL, you know? And so it's like, you know what I mean? You just got to make the most of it, you know? And the PFL is actually paying us a stipend. They're keeping, like, the fighters that they kept signed on the roster, they're paying us monthly. So that's been kind of nice. You know, it's nothing like it would be if I was out there fighting and making money like that. And I'm certainly, you know, not able to win a world title this year, which fucking sucks. But we're doing okay. We're making a buy, and you got to make the most of it. Otherwise, you know what I mean? You'll fucking just drive yourself crazy.
So before you leave, I know you got to get to training here soon. I want to know, who are you looking forward to on some future cards, UFC, whatever? Is there any standouts that you're like, that's the one, or what's getting you excited right now?
No, you know what? Like, I guess just like my homies, like, I don't know. Like, yeah, fuck. nobody really sticks out. You know, the fight that I want, like, I can't wait to see though, is Gaethje and Khabib is going to be a fucking sick one.
I was failing going on that shit too, because Ferguson and Rodriguez are on there, and I love Pantera. I'm a huge fan of him. I love the nastiness of Ferguson. I'm just like, I just want to see blood. I want to work elbows. That's all I want. And I just slip through that kid.
And he's cut his face open and strangle him. Like, there's nothing better than Ferguson's fighting style. Like, he's either gonna fucking knock you out, he's gonna choke you out. But either way, you're gonna be bloody.
Oh yeah, that's what I love about it. It's like you have no way out. You just know. So prayers on that dude. But he's weird though too. I mean, ever seen this dude ever watch his warm ups? I love that.
I actually hung out. I went out drinking with Ferguson one night. And he's a fucking crazy man. Yeah, he's cool as shit. He's cool as shit, but dude, he's not a normal person.
The interview kind of seen.
Yeah, the more weird the better. That's why, like, there was that girl Agapova who came out. I was talking with them the last podcast, Agapova Maria, and she came out all sorts of weird, came out the gates. Like, the way she moved was just unconventional. So I love something that's a little different. I mean, I appreciate the good technical fighters, but I really, I can't help but not take my eyes off the ones that are just like, what the hell are they doing? And it works. Like, okay, that's
right. Cool. So. Everybody, yeah, no kidding. Like everybody, like I have a lot more respect for people like that too. Like it's like, oh, you're a crazy motherfucker. Like, and you're a good fighter. It's like, oh man, like you're gonna be a hard one to beat. You know what I mean? You got to shoot them to fucking beat them.
I love it. So it's some weird stuff. Okay, one other question, weird question, because I asked this from people last time, and no one could really think about and answer this stupid question. I apologize. Have you ever seen a girl with cauliflower ear?
What's that?
Have you ever seen a girl with cauliflower ear? Any fighter?
Not any good ones.
That's what I was like. I've not seen a single girl with cauliflower, unless I'm just like not thinking of. I bet you there's probably one just really sticks out there, but everyone in my home is probably like, this chick.
Did you guys, not good
ones. I remember Leslie Smith, actually, she probably had the best one that I'd seen. And then, but her ear fucking like, got blown off. Remember when she fought Jessica Eye?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
She had a little bit of cauliflower, but even hers weren't even that bad. Like in comparison to like some of the grotesque ones that some fucking dudes have, like yeah. when they don't take care of it. But I think, I don't know why that is. That's a good, I wonder if the cartilage is not as thick as a man's, you know what I mean? Cause men have more like fucking prominent jaws and noses and shit. So maybe like the cartilage in our faces is different than the cartilage in girls' faces.
Could be. Someone was saying that maybe they just drain it quicker because we're more worried about, you know, the aesthetic.
That's true.
No.
Yeah. Well, girls tend to take care of themselves a little more than guys do, especially yeah. knucklehead fighters.
Oh, yeah. I was actually watching Shia LaBeouf the other day on his new movie, The Tax Collector, and the first thing I noticed was his big ass cauliflower ears. I don't know what he just started doing recently. I have actually kept up with it. Do you know? I mean, his ears are whoosh, out there, and I love it. I love spotting people and just being able to tell, like, you're a wrestler. Like, not, I'd be out at a restaurant to see cauliflower ears. I'll get excited.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like, oh, that guy fights. That guy fights. But I'm like, shit. But I don't know. I did see that too. I saw Shia LaBeouf, and they showed a picture of his movie. I'm like, oh, he's got some fucking ears on him. Like, what's going on? But have you seen the show Kingdom? Like it was on Showtime. Okay. Well, in that show, like even those actors, they put like prosthetic cauliflower ears on and they look so real, but they do it kind of like, so I'm wondering if like Shia LaBeouf is in that same situation. So I don't know what his character in that movie is, but maybe they made it seem like he's a fighter and that's maybe why he's got a cauliflower ear. Maybe.
Because there was a portion of that movie, just like a minute or two where it shows them actually doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which plays out in the movie. Very, very much. Like, I wouldn't watch it for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is in there. Tax Collector is really, it's a gruesome movie. I love that. But they do a portion of that. So I don't know if that was maybe he was doing that in his own private life and he brought that in the movie, like, or
that would be dope.
Where it's a synthetic fake ear. That would be sad because I get really excited about that.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, Shia LaBeouf's grappling now. Like, it's fucking dope. I'm a fan of him anyway. Like even Steven Daze was, you know, like he's always been the shit. So
I love him. I appreciate it. You guys. I saw some people asking how they can follow you, Johnny Hollywood Case. You can follow him on Instagram. You got Facebook, I'm sure, everything. You guys hit him up, give him some love. I appreciate you being on the show. It's morning time there. You have a whole day ahead of you now. So this is your little win.
Is there anybody you want to give shout outs to or any sponsors you want to? Give props to
just my boys at home waiting for me to get back. Daddy loves you. I miss you guys. That's, you know what I mean?
Everybody else who follows.
What's that?
It's your kids, right?
Yeah, my dudes. Yeah, my baby dudes. My little tiny baby dudes. I got 8 and a 9-year-old. just them, you know, my family, my fans, my friends. Thank you guys so much. You know, what I do wouldn't be so great if it wasn't for all of you. So I love you all and appreciate it. And thank you guys so much for your time. This was fun. It was nice talking with you guys.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome to come back anytime.
Yeah, you're a good dude. We hope to have you back for sure. So go. Don't get drunk again. Take a little break.
Chances are I'm probably going to, knowing these guys.
Well, that's awesome watching you. I'm really excited. It was nice to meet you. Definitely.
Well, hopefully Allie will show up next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
I'm gonna send her a message.
Hell yeah. All right, guys. You have a great one.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Johnny.
Bye-bye. Bye.
That was cool. I took that over. I apologize.
What's that? No, you're okay. I was just trying to say you know, like, did anybody see that John Jones called out Brock Lesnar?
No, but didn't Dana White
or am I the only one that doesn't care?
No. I would love to see Brock Lesnar go in there. And John,
I just feel like he's so damaged that, I mean, Jones would kill him, I think. But
yeah. So, yeah, I saw they just posted that thing on Facebook. I was actually reading that a couple of hours ago, that Dana White's like, I'll entertain it and I'll put it on there if you guys really wanted it. And if it pays, they're going to freaking do it. And
yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not going to turn the channel off, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if I have nothing to do on a Saturday night, I'll watch it. So that's exciting. So I'll take care of it. I like it. I try to stick up on anything, even if I don't know what's going on or if it's something I'm not interested in. I just want to watch just to see. Just like,
I try to watch every Saturday. I mean, even though sometimes the cards are boring.
Yeah, some of them have been. I feel like if it has to do with quarantine and constantly just watch. I mean, that's literally all I do on a Saturday is like I'll watch the UFC fights or whatever. You know, matches, I love it all, but it's just like, it's almost been so repetitive. And I don't know if that's just because of being, everyone's locked up a little bit way more than usual. And got my cat.
I see that.
Trying to get all the love. Yeah. So I don't know if everyone else is like that. But I'm really excited for the card coming up. So
yeah, it looks like there's some good ones coming up.
Yeah, I'm ready to watch Khabib talk some shit. I love it. That'd be a little entertaining along the way. So
I'm one of those casual fans. I'm not a fighter or nothing. I don't have the fighter honor. I like to see some shit talking. That's me. You know, I'm all about the hype. Hype it up. Make me want to watch the fight and, you know, talk some shit. But I know, like, a lot of fighters, there's a lot of, like, honor, and they'll be like, you know, I don't want anybody to – talk shit, just go out and fight. I'm not that guy. I like to be involved in it.
Yeah, my boyfriend's very much like that. A grappling MMA fighter. He will kill someone when not even blink an eye, like just like, oh, it was fun. He loved to go fight in the cage, but when it comes to someone shit talking, oh, he hates it. And I don't know how he likes me. Or wants to be around me, because I love that stuff. Oh, the cockier the better.
Yeah.
Why? Because I think I would never talk shit as a fighter. I mean, unless I could walk the talk. I'm too much of a baby. I could never do that. I think it, but I would never say that shit.
Yeah, back when I was young, I was a shit talker. So back when I was young, I was a big shit talker, and you know, I didn't fight in the cages or anything, but I just like to talk shit and
it's fun.
It is. And I enjoy watching other people, you know, I like it when they all riled up and people lose their cool.
I will admit, I talked way more shit before I ever stepped in the cage. That will shut you up real quick. And I definitely had a more cocky head on me than when before I started even training fighting. And then even when I was training fighting before I ever had my first match, like I was just like, oh yeah, I'm shit. And even, I mean, I won my first match. And even then I was just like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, dude, I thought I was going to freaking murder someone. And people just don't, I don't think people expect the physical being in a cage, the feeling of it, where you think like, oh, any fight. Because usually when I think people like, if you're talking shit on the street and you're not a cage fighter, I think you're pretty much more pumped up with adrenaline and more in the moment, and versus when you're going in a cage and you know the other person's been training. It's not the street fight. It's not the same shit. And I think it's silly for people to want to talk shit, and if they're a cage fighter, it's just, you have to back it up. There's so many accidents and mistakes happen in a cage. Like, I could not be that. If I was a UFC level, maybe.
Yeah, I always like it when they're like, I got the best hook. I got this, I got that. And then they get in the stage.
Or they fight someone shitty and it's like, dude, anyone could have done that one. I was watching actually a chick fight the other day, and it was like, they both got their ass beat, but the other girl was like, oh, at the very end of it, like she just did something cool. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, I mean, I don't like looking cocky in the cage. Like I said, I'll think cocky, but that's just to keep me going. Cause I would never step in a cage thinking that person's going to beat my ass. I would never go in that mentality.
Right.
At the same time, I do like the cockiness, but I don't like the showmanship over shit that's not earned. I don't know if that makes sense.
I understand.
That was pretty cool talking with him. I'm excited about a bunch of different things coming up.
Yeah. So you were going to Evan? Was that the gentleman's name?
Evan Elder. I know he's really busy. He just got his LFA win. I think it was last week. I know he says he was going to try and make it. I'm checking my thing again. But I know it was really last minute. So he said he was. So I'll try to get him on again.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't get on here, it's fine, you know. Yeah. But I don't want to sit around much longer if he isn't available.
No, you're okay. I haven't heard back from him. Last time I talked to him was early this afternoon. Sweet guy. I'd love to get him on here. So if it's not tonight, then we'll definitely try again. I just know he's really busy. So he was going to try.
Thanks, Crystal, for your comments. I appreciate those.
They say whenever they get knocked down.
They talk shit. Yep.
Nope.
Seen that many times.
There are some people that just have no room voice and stuff. And if you can walk the talk, then that's great. You know, but I think that's more, you need to save it for the showbiz. Although one of my friends down here is a great shit talker and I love it. And I will call him out by name. He's a great, because I think he likes it too, Aaron Zechty. He will talk shit and he'll kick your ass at the same time. And I had the honor of him. And
I think most people that talk shit want to have their name out there.
Yeah, but I admire that people like him though, but he's really, he's witty, and some people can talk shit. I can talk shit in my head, but once it comes out my mouth, it's going to talk or sound like vomit. I know it sounds way cooler before I start speaking. He, on the other hand, he can make some good witty shit, and he'll talk it and he'll walk it and he'll knock your ass out. So if you guys ever look it up, Arian Zechty, he's another good fighter, and entertaining to watch him along the way. So that I think some people lack. So I'll give it to him, the props for being in it. Very cocky in that end. So.
Well, we're going to have a show every Wednesday with this lady and Allie. And so we got plenty of time for Evan to come on the next show.
Yeah.
And next week for you guys, we got Jessica Borga coming on.
Yep.
She's pretty badass. So yeah. I think we'll end up just wrapping this one up. And
Unless
you got anything else. Nope. You wanna? Are you good? All right. Well,
I got my kicks with Johnny, so that was fun talking to him and you. And
yeah, he sounds like a really nice guy.
Yeah, and I'll be on tomorrow or Thursday.
Yep. If you're down, we'll have you on for the Thursday show. Everybody, watch that. We got Shoni Carter coming on. He's a legend. So, and somebody I really want to go party with. So. He looks like a lot of fun. And then David Feldman, BKFC CEO. So
that'd be fun.
Maybe Karina can work her way into a fist fight.
Just once. I don't think I'm going to live there. But
have you seen there's a smaller organization called Toe the Line coming up? Maybe that's something you need to look into.
I have to check that out. You have to show me that one too.
It's supposed to be kind of like a step, you know, down from the BKFC, so kind of where they're going to, like their farm league, basically.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
So
I'd definitely check that out. So, well, thank you, Matt. I had a great night. I hope you guys enjoyed it on the other end and more even entertaining than the first round. I'm very new to this, so I appreciate you guys showing up and being an audience for us.
Thanks, everybody, and have a good night. Hi, I'm Matt Seibel, producer of the Fight Mixer Show. We have a good lineup of guests coming up next week. Take a look for yourself.
Hey, what's up, guys? If you get a chance, tune in on September 9th to the Fight Mixer at 8:30, and yours truly will be interviewing with them. So tune in.
Just to put you in a set of reminders, I'm on my grind to do these things and bring in the blame. This is Shoni Carter, Mr. International. Play with a Passport. I'll see you on the Fight Mixer, September 3rd.